Thomas, I said. Glau's running.
Relax, Thomas said, and his eyes never left Madrigal. I heard the scrabble of claws on gravel, and then Mouse shot out of the shadows that had hidden Thomas. He flashed by me in what was for him a relaxed lope, but as Glau approached the van, Mouse accelerated to a full sprint. In the last couple of steps before Glau reached the van, I thought I saw something forming around the great dog's forequarters, tiny flickers of pale colors, almost like St. Elmo's fire. Then Mouse threw himself into a leap. I saw Glau's expression reflected in the van's windshield, his two wide eyes goggling in total surprise. Then Mouse slammed his chest and shoulder into Glau's back like a living battering ram. The force of the impact took Glau's balance completely and sent the man into a vicious impact with the van's dented front bumper. Glau hit hard, hard enough that I heard bones breaking from 50 feet away, and his head whiplashed down onto the hood and rebounded with neck-breaking force. Glau bounced off the van's front bumper and hood and landed in a limp, boneless pile on the ground. Mouse landed, skidded on the gravel, and spun to face Glau. He watched the downed man for a few seconds, legs stiff. His back legs dug twice at the gravel, throwing up dust and rocks in challenge. Glau never stirred. Mouse sniffed and then let out a sneeze that might almost have been actual words.
So there.
Then the dog turned and trotted right over to me, favoring one leg slightly, grinning a proud canine grin. He shoved his broad head under my hand in his customary demand for an ear scratching. I did it while something released in my chest with a painful little snapping sensation. My dog was all right. Maybe my eyes missed it up a little. I dropped to one knee and slid an arm around the mutt's neck. Good dog, I told him. Mouse's tail wagged proudly at the praise, and he leaned against me. I made sure my eyes were clear, then looked up to find Madrigal staring at the dog in shock and fear.
That isn't a dog, the vampire whispered.
But he'll do anything for a Scooby snack, I said.
Spill it, Madrigal. What are you doing in town? How are you involved with the attacks? He licked his lips and shook his head.
I don't have to talk to you, he said. And you don't have time to make me. The gunshots, even in this neighborhood, the police will be here soon.
True, I said. So here's how it's going to work. Thomas, when you hear a siren, pull the trigger. Madrigal made a choking sound. I smiled. I want answers, that's all. Give them to me and we go away. Otherwise, I shrugged and made a vague gesture at Thomas. Mouse stared at him and a steady growl bubbled from his throat. Madrigal shot a look over at the fallen Glau, who, by God, was moving his arms and legs in an aimless, stunned fashion. Mouse's growl grew louder and Madrigal tried to squirm a little farther from my dog.
Even if I did talk, what's to keep you from killing me once I've told you?
Madrigal, Thomas said quietly. You're a vicious little bitch, but you're still family. I'd rather not kill you. We left your Jan alive. Play ball and both of you walk.
You would side with this mortal buck against your own kind, Thomas?
My own kind booted me out, Thomas replied. I take work where I can get it.
Pariah vampire and pariah wizard, Madrigal murmured. I suppose I can see the advantages, regardless of how the war turns out.
He watched Thomas steadily for a moment and then looked at me.
I want your oath on it.
You have it, I said. Answer me honestly and I let you leave Chicago unharmed. He swallowed and his eyes flicked to the shotgun still pressed to his cheek.
My oath as well, he said. I'll speak true.
And that settled that. Pretty much everything on the supernatural side of the street abided by a rigid code of traditional conduct that respected things like one's duties as a host, one's responsibility as a guest, and the integrity of a sworn oath. I could trust Madrigal's oath once he'd openly made it. Probably. Thomas looked at me. I nodded. He eased his boot off Madrigal's neck and took a step back, holding his shotgun at his side, though his stance became no less wary. Madrigal sat up, wincing at his legs. There was a low, cracking kind of noise coming from them. The bleeding had already stopped. I could see portions of his calf where the pants had been ripped away. The skin there actually bubbled and moved. And as I watched, a round lump the size of a pea formed in the skin and burst, expelling a round buckshot that fell to the parking lot.